You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for tuning in for another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have another exciting episode. But before we get started, we definitely want you to let your network know, let your followers know you want to tweet the show. You want to post it on Facebook and let everyone know that Changing the Conversation is live on the air. We have some very special guests this morning. We'll be speaking with Catherine Stark, an urban literary specialist, reading consultant, author, and founder of Creative Minds Publications. That's right, we have an urban literacy specialist as a guest on today's show. We also have a couple of other guests, and we have some amazing announcements from Punch TV Studios. But before we get started and we bring on our CEO, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American-owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
If you are just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation, we have an amazing show for you today. We are on Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we are changing the conversation in media. We're asking the hard questions. We're having the difficult conversations. We're finding out what you want to see on television. So we're going to start with our first very special guest today, Catherine Stark. Are you with us this morning, Ms. Stark?
Yeah, good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. So you are an urban literacy specialist. What exactly is an urban literacy specialist?
So I am an educator, and I've always worked in inner city schools and started out in Richmond, Virginia, where is my home base. But I travel to inner city schools nationally, and my focus is on urban education and more specifically urban literacy. So I'm truly helping teachers, parents, families, and schools in urban communities, inner city areas in the country, become independent readers, helping challenge schools become fully accredited. And the communities I serve are all, you know, usually in the largest cities in our country.
Okay. What made you decide to go into urban literacy?
My first teaching job was in inner city Richmond, Virginia, and it was second grade. And I found that none of my second graders were actually reading on grade level. And I had a lot of seven-year-olds that were reading on kindergarten level, and I had a few children that came to school only knowing how to read their name. And so I went back to school full-time while teaching to learn everything I possibly could about reading instruction and to ensure that kids, no matter, you know, where they lived, what their background was, what their experiences are, can receive quality literacy education, you know, as the pathway for their educational career.
Okay. So when you found that the second year, the children who were in the second grade weren't reading on that level, what did you do as far as implementation in order to increase their literacy? I mean, did you create groups? Did you create programs? What did you do in order to solve that problem?
Well, that first year, because, you know, you're 7 years old and you have this particular curriculum that you need to learn, and in third grade in Virginia, they have to take these reading assessments, which are, you know, considered high-stakes testing. And so it was a twofold problem where I had to teach the kids to read on grade level, but to also understand content in science and social studies and math in order to perform well on future assessments. And so we got really creative. I wrote songs. I wrote stories. I used picture books to teach a variety of topics, from like weather to place value to, you know, historical events. I wrote a children's book, Amy's Travels, which is now a published book, to teach all the seven continents so the kids could really hear stories and we could have conversations about topics and content and increase our vocabulary. And while we did that on one side, on the other side, I was doing small group and one-on-one instruction for most of the day to get the books that were on their level into their hands, to increase their understanding of the text and build their word knowledge and just continue to move throughout their individual text while matching the grade level content.
Okay, but you also turned your book, Amy's Travels, into a musical, is that correct?
Yeah, Amy's Travels was picked up by the Latin Ballet of Virginia and turned the story, Multicultural Education, which was actually selected as a multicultural text by the California Department of Education, and it was used in a ballet in San Francisco and as a play and musical out here in Virginia.
Okay, and how, what was that like for you?
That was so cool to see your story, you know, be put in real life on stage. And Amy is a real person. She lives outside of D.C. and one of my very good friends. So we brought the real Amy in for the show. And, you know, now the play travels around the schools and basically teaches the culture, diversity, geography of our world through the eyes of this main character, Amy, who is a young Peruvian girl.
And wow, I know that must be a wonderful feeling to see a baby, you know, your baby as far as this book and this project actually go as far as it did. I mean, to be featured in a musical, to be at schools across the country, I mean, I know that really has to be a great feeling for you.
Well, definitely, because I wrote the book with the sole intention of providing, you know, a resource for the students I was teaching at the time, and then expanded that to a resource for teachers in my area. And then, you know, when it got the accolades from California, and it just started being added to more school curriculums. And it's amazing because, I mean, no matter where you live in the world, you're learning about the world and you're learning about this. So for somebody to see, you know, the value and the purpose, but the entertaining aspect of Amy's travels and to put it in a show is definitely an amazing, humbling experience.
Okay, and so that led to your next release, Tackle Reading.
Correct. Tackle Reading just came out this past fall, and we basically, I was fortunate to serve as the author and literacy advocate for the Washington Redskins football team, and they have a wonderful reading program called Redskins Reads, where we're getting kids across the state of Virginia excited about reading, really being motivated by their favorite athletes on the team. And so my work with them, seeing all these kids getting excited about professional athletes and increasing and motivating their reading, I wrote Tackle Reading, and it includes stories from over 45 contributing writers, from NFL athletes to celebrities, to literacy leaders, fellow authors, fellow educators, and I gave them the topic of reading, and every single person wrote a different story about reading. So, you know, inspiring stories from athletes who could not read when they were little or were not doing well in school and knew that they had to, in order to have a professional athletic career, they had to be able to read. They had to be able to understand how to read contracts and playbooks and all of those things. And every single story in the book is either giving an activity, a life lesson for a parent to do at home, some motivation for a reader. Parents, dads especially, are picking up the book and sharing it with compilation of stories that really does reach a reader of any age, childhood through adulthood.
Okay, and you kicked off the first annual Tackle Reading Across America Day this year. When was that and how was that?
That was on March 2nd. We combined Dr. Seuss's birthday and Read Across America Day, which is a huge holiday in elementary schools, and we added the focus of Tackle Reading. And it's basically all about promoting a love of literacy with a passion for football. So we're doing it again this upcoming March 2nd. And we had over 23 teams just for year one, NFL teams represented. And so from coast to coast, these teams sent out players and coaches and owners into their inner city school right in their community to read and visit all of the classrooms and donate copies of Tackle Reading, copies of Amy's Travels, copies of a football book called Beyond the Laces, and copies of another football book called Where is Pidge, which is written by Michelle Staubach-Grimes, whose dad happens to be a legendary quarterback, Roger Staubach. And so Michelle was able to partner with me on this event along with Beyond the Laces, and it was just an amazing experience. We had people sending pictures all day long and of them in their jerseys, of athletes reading. And so all day on March 2nd in schools in every major NFL city, there was reading going on, and that was amazing to see.
I can imagine. Well, we definitely have our own social media network here at Punch TV Studios, and that's Nabuki, and that's Nabukie, nabuki.com, Nabukie. We definitely love to invite you to add both of your books to our website, nabuki.com, and we'll be able to support your elementary school students' Tackle Reading.
That is perfect. I just wrote that down.
Okay. So one of the other things that we definitely want to talk about with you is, what are some of the things that you have coming up in the future? What can we expect
Great
to
question.
See from you?
So this year, well, this upcoming fall, in time for the new school year and the new football season, we are releasing the ebook version of Tackle Reading. We're doing all summer and into the fall, we'll actually be at NFL youth football camps throughout the country. This Saturday, for instance, Quentin Spain, one of our writers, is a player for the Tennessee Titans, and he is putting together a youth football camp. While the kids, over 325 children, have signed up for this youth football camp. While the kids are doing their lunch and doing their games and doing their drills, we will have tackle reading set up to really educate the parents, giving them tips to tackle reading at home. So we're doing that throughout the summer at various foundations with fellow athletes that are part of our project. We are kicking off the ebook version in time for summer. And then along with my literacy consulting, I continue to travel nationally to schools. Fortunately, I've been able to help schools go from failing schools into full accreditation, often in one or two school years, which is just a huge feat for those teachers and those administrators. So I'm continuing with that. And then I've also been working on taking a lot of my reading background and venturing into ed tech and really take a lot of the results that I've seen and a lot of the work that I've done with kids and put that in a platform that everybody can have access to. Because obviously I can't travel everywhere at all times, and so it's certainly important for me to be able to share the knowledge that I have through the books and through the resources and through upcoming platforms.
Okay, so when you go to the schools and you provide your reading consultant services, what are some of the services that you provide to the schools? What are some of the things that you do?
The first thing that I always do is I spend a day just observing and watching. I want to see the student engagement. I want to see how the teachers actually respond to their kids, what they're teaching, how they're teaching. And I spend that day watching every single classroom in the school to really determine the strengths and challenges that are impacting the school's performance. And from there, I provide meetings with the administrator. I provide meetings with the grade level and individual teachers to really coach them on what they can include in their classroom to increase student engagement and increase literacy rates and, you know, reading levels. And I visit, if I'm in a local school, if they're near me, you know, I can go to that school a few times a week or a few times a month. And if it's a school out of my state, which I do, we do 3 to 5, depending on the school setup, visits throughout the year. And that includes those observations and those meetings. And I will do model teaching. I will actually teach with kids so that teachers can watch. We do a lot of talk about, you know, how to create their lesson plans, make them better, how to use data and watch the performance level tracking. And we do all of these things together, and so that they can do that on their own, you know, when I'm not there and when I'm leaving. It's really all about just empowering the teachers and empowering the administrators and giving them these tools that work and show them how they can do it on their own. And then it's awesome to hear from them, you know, saying they did this today and it worked, or they gave this book today or this activity, or they did this lesson plan just a little bit differently and they're seeing results. And, you know, all about the motivation and engagement. I mean, they're huge pieces no matter where you are, what industry you're in. If you're not motivated, if you're not engaged, you're not going to perform well. And it's the same in schools. And so we do all of those things focused around reading, and we just are able to track their progress and results and keep moving them forward.
Oh, fantastic. Now, because you're visiting so many different schools, have you begun to see any trends in the school system as far as, you know, maybe 2 out of 3 schools or 3 out of 5 schools were all teaching this way, so we had to change their lesson plan accordingly? So you go in and you kind of know, I already know what the problem is.
Yeah, a lot of times as soon as I do that day one observation, you do see a trend. A lot of schools that are performing poorly in reading are still doing whole group instruction, assuming that all of those kids are on the exact same level, on the exact same pace, which is not even human nature. You can't have 100% of everybody on the exact same path of learning. And so that's definitely a trend. So we switched that into small groups. And another trend is, you know, a lot of people are just teaching what they think, you know, that particular child's supposed to know, whether they're 8 or they're 10 or they're 11. I did middle school this year, and so 13-year-olds still, you know, and they just teach, well, this is the curriculum, and this is what I'm teaching. And the question is, well, do you know the strengths and challenges of these individual children? You know, if you have a child that's moved into your school from another school or another state or another country, how do you know they already learned A, B, and C to get to D? So I definitely teach the whole concept of, like, assume nothing. You know, when you assume nothing, you're going to prepare a better plan. You're going to be able to provide a thorough, comprehensive background knowledge of the students, and your lesson will just be so much stronger, and the results are going to be so much better.
Mm-hmm. So what is your opinion from an urban literacy specialist perspective on this new trend, especially in Southern California, in California with homeschooling? It was kind of funny because I had a neighbor, a friend of mine, whose son was homeschooled, and he was very sharp, straight-A student, very intellectual. He was actually picked or selected as valedictorian for the school's graduation, and he went to do his acceptance speech or his speech, and he literally started crying. He was so afraid. He was so nervous because he had been homeschooled for so long that even though he has an intellectual aspect together, the social aspect and just being in front of all of these people just scared the living daylights out of him. I mean, just what are your thoughts?
Well, it is very true that homeschooling community is only increasing everywhere. And it, for me, the positive thing is you're going to have a child receive that one-on-one instruction a lot of times, or that 3-to-1 instruction, which in the public school is what's so beneficial, you know, to be able to provide the exact instruction that a child needs. If a child is fortunate enough to be in a homeschool situation like the child you just described, where they are being challenged, they are being educated, they are being well-rounded on a variety of topics, then that child is fortunate and is ready to head toward a quality path. Some children, you know, that are homeschooled, they might not be homeschooled by someone that, you know, can read themselves or is knowledgeable themselves. And so it's so important that either the parent or the community leader is somebody that's going to give the child a well-rounded education. The one thing that I've noticed that's really been beneficial for kids is the socialization in summer camp or socialization in after-school activities. Socialization, for example, and one thing we put together is the annual book creating day. And it's sponsored by the Library of Virginia, and the kids can come and they can create their own books and write their own story and do these book talks. And I will tell you that 85% of the children that come to this event are homeschooled because the parents are looking for social activities because, like you said, a lot of these kids learned what they needed at home. They learned to read. They learned to write. They learned their math. They learned their basics. But, how am I going to interact with fellow peers? Come to this bookmaking workshop. It is packed every year. The majority are homeschool kids, and it's just an opportunity for them to be creative and express themselves now with peers their own age besides just maybe their siblings or their parents or their neighbors.
So aside from the event, do you do any type of literacy training or consulting with homeschool parents or during the process?
Yes, we do. I do consulting for parents and families because, you know, they sometimes the smartest child, you know, that is extremely bright in math, perhaps they have a deficit in reading. I've had a lot of children, especially children that are homeschooled, that actually have been diagnosed with dyslexia. And so learning specific tactics and traits such as using color overlays and helping parents see how to break down words into parts that makes this reading so much easier. It's still, for children with dyslexia or children with a phonological disorder, it's often like a two-step process for them to read the words on the page. So I do a lot of work with parents and families and give them those tricks and help. I've done the work with the children first so they can see me working with the children and then help them work with the children. And they, too, can just see the same growth. You know, the average year's growth or year and a half growth is what you want a child to make in reading every year. And so parents definitely, I mean, they're the child's first teacher anyway. And so, you know, they want to be equipped with that knowledge. And so that's been a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to work with families directly and help them give their child all the necessary tools to make them an independent reader.
Excellent, excellent. If you are just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation, we're speaking with Ms. Catherine Stark, Urban Literacy Specialist and the founder of Creative Minds Publications, LLC. Ms. Stark, we definitely want to thank you for being a guest on today's episode of Changing the Conversation.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are very, very welcome. Now, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break, and we will be right back.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years. And for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
If you are just now tuning in, you do not want to miss another minute of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. We do have some exciting announcements today. Post it, tweet it, because we are going to amaze you. We have our next guest, character actress, the talented Carla Short. Are you with us this morning, Ms. Short?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
We are excellent, excellent. Thank you for joining today's episode of Changing the Conversation. We definitely wanted to speak with you. You were one of the actors that came out to Love a Senior Day to make the presentation, correct?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And what made you decide to be part of the event?
I wanted to be part of the event because I've just turned a senior, and I always tend to forget I'm a senior. I think I'm still young. And I wanted to come out and support others. And seniors need a lot of help.
Okay, and so you presented an award?
I was at an award show, a film festival that I worked with. It's called Wind International Film Festival, and it's directed by Dr. Elham Madani. And it stands for Women Inspiration Nation Diversity. She works with a lot of directors when they have a starring female, a lead female in their movies. She likes to support females.
Okay. And what kind of support is he able to offer?
They have a film festival where they give awards and everything, and she likes to work with women because women are sometimes not looked upon as they should be or mistreated, you know. And it's a really wonderful film festival. She got her doctor's degree in film. And I'm getting ready to work in some movies with her. She's in the process of starting up some new movies. And I'm going to be in one of her movies.
And what about you? What can we see you in these days?
You can see me in Life of Gia. It's a feature film. I play the grandmother in a true story. It's about a young lady when she was 8 years old. She was in a bad car accident with her mother and father. The mother and father were killed in the accident. And she went through a lot. She had to go live with her aunt, her brother's sister. And her aunt died right when she was going on 18 with cancer. And then she only has one member left in her family, which is her grandmother. So she tells her, go to your grandmother, go to your grandmother. When she comes to find the grandmother is also dying from heart problems. And this young lady went to every extreme there was to make money to try and pay for the surgery that her grandmother needed to save her life. And when I mean she went to every extreme, she worked from a call service, doing prostitution in order to make money to save her grandmother's life. I can't tell you whether she was saved or not because I would give away the whole film.
I can't tell you the end. We got to watch the show. How did that feel?
Very prominent. It felt so good because I had 122 lines in that movie. The director had faith in me when he called me and said, hey, I got a role for you. I'm like, okay, sure. You know, because I changed my life in 2009 from living a street life to being a real lady. And that's not been that long. It's only been 8 years, you know. But in them 8 years, I decided what I wanted to do with my life. 2011, I started acting. And then my brain tells me, what are you doing? You don't have no experience. So I went and started doing a lot of student films for credit to get the experience that I got. And I have actually had a lot of directors really believe in me. And I have played from homeless to drug addicts, to a grandmother, to zombies. I played, there's a movie that I'm in that's on YouTube called What He Saw. I'm the mouthy wife to an alcoholic, and she gets silent because he's tired of her mouth. And in real life, I went through that with a husband, so it was really easy for me to play that role. And to play the drug addict, I played a heroin addict mom in two different movies. And I was able to pull those roles off because I'm an ex-heroin addict. So I use a lot of my past negatives to make them a positive in my future. Because, you know, after changing my life.
What was your favorite role?
My favorite role was the grandmother because it was a very prominent role. It gave me a lot of experience on that set. I was on set for over a week with that role. And, I mean, it was like every day, but I was there. I didn't care. Because my motto today is, if I could chase the life that I used to chase, that almost destroyed me, why can't I chase my dream in full force?
Words to live by. Definitely words to live by. So you'd rather play a grandmother than a zombie?
No, I like zombies too. Oh, and I worked in the haunted hayride. I worked in the Los Angeles haunted hayride last year until I got injured by a patron and I had to take off. He hit me in the chest because I scared him so bad. Because
oh, wow.
I love to scare people. So I like scary roles. You know, because I have some little evil voices to use in them that haunted me in my past. I can use them in my future, you know.
Give us one of those
it's
voices.
Exciting. What you doing? Come here. Don't you want to play in my playground? I got you. I love them. Because when you're made up in makeup and you're looking all bloody and got makeup scars all over you, you know, where you got these big gashes in you and everything and you've got blood everywhere, it really scares the people when you come out of nowhere. And when I worked in the hayride, we were on this big, giant, old-time milk truck. Like, and I would hide or I'd stand like I was a statue. And then when you got close to me, I just, God! And it was, people would just jump back. I had girls pee on themselves.
Yes.
It was
I went to Not Scary Farm one time, and I'm not one of those. I don't like being scared, but so I said, you know, because of peer pressure.
Oh, you're the ones I like. You're the ladies I like.
Yes, because of peer pressure. Yes, no, I'm not, because I'm the ones who say, you know what, no. So I went because they pressured me. But then when I had to use the restroom, and right before I went into the restroom, the zombie jumped out at me and I almost peed on myself. I said, time to go. It is time to go, and I was like 19 years old, I think, and I've never went back. I was done with
the zombies. Well, see, those are the kind that I like, because I'm like, okay, you paid your money to be scared, but you're hiding in the center of everybody. I'm going to get to you.
No, I don't go to the Queen Mary when they do the Queen Mary for Halloween.
Girl,
none of that.
Them. I
no,
love all
no,
that.
No, 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 no. I like nice, sweet grandmothers.
Oh, well, I'm not always a sweet grandmother. I might look like her, but, hey, you know, I have fun with it. And to me, this acting career is so much fun. And the adrenaline that I get from it, oh, my God, it's indescribable, the adrenaline rush. Like when they had the huge screening for Life of Gia at a sports bar out in North Hollywood, I could just hear the line of people behind me because grandmother pulled a dirty trick on the granddaughter in the movie. And everybody's like, oh no, poor Gia. Oh my God, what's she going to do now? And then grandma scares the hell out of her. And she literally got super scared on set because she was one of them girls like you that don't like to be scared. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to really scare you that bad. She said, you got me, Grandma. And the actors from that set, they still call me Grandma.
Oh, that
you
is know? So
but
sweet.
I like to leave. I like to leave a lasting impression nowadays, a good impression. Because even my own family, they say, you are so different now. You're so beautiful. I say, yeah, I know. And then I played one film for the student at New York Film Academy, and it's called The Art of John and Danny. Danny is a homeless woman. And, I mean, it was hilarious at times, and then it wasn't. But she was kind of a wild homeless lady, okay? And then this guy, John, he gets fired from his job, and he builds this virtual reality world in his house, and he finally convinces me to come in there. And when he does, I'm on drugs and everything, and I'm in this virtual reality world with him, but his wife cheated with his boss in real life. And then he brings Danny into this virtual reality world, and she cheats with him inside the virtual reality world with a younger guy. And I end up killing him in the movie. I ended up killing John in the movie. So that was pretty exciting.
It sounds exciting.
I get to kill people now, and I get to walk away free because they get back up. You know, my record is not too good, but my record now is better.
Yes, you know, after all these different appearances and movies and everything you got going on, I definitely can imagine being better. So what we definitely like you to do is join us on Nabookie, N-A-B-U-K-I-E. Nabookie.com is the social media network for Punch TV Studios. We're going to produce over 300 new feature films and television shows over the next 4 years post-IPO. We are creating an amazing company that we definitely want you to be a part of. And on Nabookie.com, that's where we'll do all of our casting. So if we're looking for zombies or grandmas or just interesting, fun ladies, we definitely want to see your profile, you active on Nabookie, so we know where to, know where and how to find you.
I will. And also, I'm getting ready to play this weekend. I'm going to be playing a prostitute in a movie about a famous brothel in the red light district of Amsterdam. And I'm going to be playing one of the prostitutes in the brothel. And it's kind of funny how I booked it, because when I seen it on the casting website, I put in, well, I'm an ex-prostitute, so I believe I can play your role very well. And they booked me for it. I didn't even have to audition. I'm booked for next Friday and Sunday for this. And I'll be one of the women inside of the brothel. And it's going to be a movie about a feature film about one of the famous brothels from the red light district of Amsterdam. And I'm like, ooh, this is exciting. And I picked out a perfect outfit for it. Because when I Googled, he told me, Google red light district and look at their outfit. And I said, well, I'm not going to wear a bra and panties that go up the rear, the G-strings, on a film. I said, but what I did find was a lace bodysuit, and I put on boxer shorts and a cheetah print bra under this black lace bodysuit. And I sent them the picture, and they were like, oh, yeah. So it's revealing but not revealing, you know? And
yes. So when can we expect to see that
picture.
Movie?
I will know more after I shoot this weekend, when that movie will be coming out. It's called Black Tulip. That I'll
Black
be working
Tulip.
With.
You heard it here first. Black Tulip. We definitely want to see a trailer or a show or something from even a picture. We have to see a picture.
Well, if
on
you would
Nabookie.
Like to see if you would like to see something on Nabookie that I start in as a video. I'm the star of the video. It's an Australian pop artist, Julietta. She won a music award for International Pop Artist in 2009 at LA Music Awards. And I worked in one of her videos as her insane, crazy fan. And I'm everywhere she is. And I even kidnap her in the video and take her man.
Oh, wow. You kidnap her and take her man?
Yes, in the video. And that one is on YouTube, too. And I also have, I did a talent show back in 2012 for God Has a Plan for Me talent show. They collect money from the talent shows to give scholarships to different students in the entertainment business that are in school. They can apply for a scholarship through God has a plan for me talent show. I performed one of my poems that's published, and it's called The Shadow Within. And I performed it in the talent show, and that is also on YouTube.
Okay, so we definitely want you to join us on Nabookie and post those clips so we can take a look.
I definitely will get them posted today.
Okay, fantastic. And we definitely want to thank you for being a guest on today's episode of Changing the Conversation.
Thank you for having me as a guest, and may you always be blessed.
Oh, thank you. We definitely received that blessing. And on that note, we're going to stop for a brief commercial break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabookie.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabookie? As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabookie.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabookie?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years. And for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
If you are just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios, we have yet another amazing announcement. Punch TV Studios is launching in Los Angeles, in Southern California, all over Southern California, from the desert to the sea. You will be able to watch Punch TV on KILM. That's right, the channel is KILM. So whether you have Dish Network, DirecTV, Spectrum, Frontier, AT&T, whatever your television provider is, whatever your cable provider is, you will be able to watch Punch TV. So we will be live August 1st on KILM. You definitely want to mark your calendars, get the channel ready, because we are coming to Los Angeles, we're coming to Southern California, and we will be in Southern California on August 1st. We'll be covering over 16 million more homes. We're already in 5 stations across the country. We're in Houston and Beaumont, Texas. We're in Jacksonville and Pensacola, Florida. We're in Columbus, Ohio. We are taking over the country by adding 16 million more homes just in Southern California. So wherever you are in Southern California, you will be able to watch Punch TV. Check out KILM. On most stations, it is channel 64. Here in Long Beach, Frontier, it is channel 20. So here at home, I get to watch TV, KILM on Frontier. So make sure you tune in to Punch TV Studios. Punch TV Network, if you're an actor, if you're an entertainer, if you're a filmmaker, this is your opportunity to get in on the ground floor on Punch TV Studios IPO. You definitely want to join Nabuki, NABUKIE.com, if you are a filmmaker or actor, because right now we are looking for you. So visit our website at punchtvstudios.com, become a shareholder, invest, purchase your stock at $1 per share, and then head on over to nabuki.com and join the Punch TV family. So until next time, tomorrow morning, Wednesday, June 28th, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we'll have your host, CEO Joseph Collins, on the line. And until then, we're out.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.